Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. My name is Scott McKenzie, but you know that because you're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast. This platform, the Industrial Talk platform, is dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. We need innovation. We need to be bold. We need to be brave. We need to just dare greatly, especially now. And that's what we need you to step up today. And that's what we're going to be talking about because we have a tremendous leader by the name of Beverly Ryder. She is the chief commercial officer with Hitachi. And you know what we're going to be talking about outside of leadership? Optimism. Hope in a very challenging environment, because we need leaders to step up and be optimistic and hopeful and innovate and all the other stuff that's associated with good leaders. She be one. So let's get going. So I reached out and I said, hey, Beverly, I've got this idea. This idea is about optimism and hope. And, you know, I mean, there's plenty of news out there that is challenging to consume, most definitely, but either we don't watch the news or don't look at our social media, and we try to persevere and figure out ways of being able to adapt to this environment today and on into the future, and what do we need to do, and how do we need to evaluate our businesses, and but all from the perspective of optimism and hope. And Beverly said, when I approached her, I said, this is what I'm thinking. She said, yes. You know why she said yes? Because she's a leader. She understands the necessity, and she's got a team of people all over the world, that type of thing. And she is working through the challenges of a workforce that is all just disconnected. And in fact, you know, with the walls closing in, we're all quarantined. And she really just shares truth and optimism, and it's absolutely wonderful conversation, and it's all in line with Operation Phoenix, which is that whole analogy of saying, hey, you know, you got that bird and it's coming out of the old ashes, and we're gonna survive this. It might be, have a little pain coming our way, but we're gonna all survive, and we're gonna get on the other side, and we're gonna be able to adapt, and but the real reason is, you industrial professionals, you companies out there, we depend on you. We depend on you to be innovative. We depend on you to definitely figure out solutions that get this economy running and rolling again, because we need you, and we need leaders like Beverly to constantly demonstrate that sign of optimism and hope that it's going to be okay, and that through technology, through a lot of wise people out there, we're going to be okay, and we're going to find ourselves on the other side of this better, stronger, and faster. Sort of like the Steve Austin analogy, if you know about the $6 million man. I'm showing my age. I used to like that show a lot. So without me yammering on and on and on, let's get on to the interview with Beverly Ryder. She's phenomenal. I interviewed her in Barcelona one time, and that was incredible. And once again, she said yes, so she's on the Industrial Talk Podcast, so let's get going. All right, Beverly, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. Thank you very much for joining. You're a busy person, however, you're quarantined too, so you have no excuses, and so you have to be on the podcast.
Yeah, I've been in my house for 30 days, so I think I'm doing okay.
You are. Yeah, you can only laugh. That's all you can do, just laugh. What the heck? And you know what's great part about the whole quarantine thing? You're not the only one being quarantined. You're not the only quarantina. So you're just like, you're
yes,
it.
Yes, that's right.
Everybody
can relate, right?
Everybody can. And you know what's been so great about it is when you have these conversations and life sort of exists behind you. I've had conversations where the wife walks on by, and then somebody else comes in, dogs in, kids open up a door and hit somebody. It's been real. I love it. And I don't have an issue with that at all. So if somebody knocks on the door and you have to go get it, you just do it, Beverly.
I will do that.
And you don't have to apologize.
You know, actually, that is a big, huge difference. If I could just say, I would tell you that 3-4 weeks ago, we were all still trying to figure out how to hide our animals, not have the doorbell ring, how to make sure the kids don't come in at inappropriate times, have nobody scream in the house. Now everything happens. Fire alarms go off, dishwasher goes on, the doorbell rings. My husband changed my doorbell to a barking dog, I think just because I'm stuck inside the house.
Good move. Good move by your hubby. Good move. I like that. You know, what's also funny is when it's sort of freeing. You know, I'm not saying it's not difficult out there. I understand, but there's a sense of freedom that comes with the fact that everybody has kids or dogs or you know, it's just we don't have to be so pretentious in a sense. You just let life, and it's like, oh, okay, good. The information is still good. I mean, doesn't diminish it.
I gotta tell you, when people you barely know talk to you about toilet paper, pretty much no other subject is off limits after that.
So I go to Walmart, and Walmart has, it's all laid out. They've got the splash stuff. They've decked it out. So it's really right. Hermetically sealed to a certain extent. So you walk through the door. And of course, they've got all of the hand wipes and stuff like that. And so you do that. And then they got this measurement of 6 feet, right? The problem is when you go down the aisles, it's you can't get away from anybody because it's not as wide as 6 feet. So it's sort of funny. Everybody's sort of walking up against the side of the aisles and like, okay, don't talk. It's an interesting time, but anyway. But you know what makes it fascinating with you? And we've had this conversation. I've been very fortunate to be able to call you friend and have this interview, is that we both agree that we've just got to be positive. We've got to figure out how to take this challenging situation, and which it is, and don't diminish, and try to make lemonade out of lemons and be positive about the whole thing. Share with us a little bit about what and leaders. So this is like you're a leader with the capital L, and then whatever, however. And I think in this time you demonstrate a tremendous amount of leadership in times of challenge like this. Can you explain a little bit about your philosophy and thinking about this whole positivity thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that for the first few weeks, things were changing every single day, and at Hitachi, it's a global company. There's a lot of us out there, and Asia got hit hardest first, right? And so we have offices in China. We have offices all over Japan. You know, about 160,000 of our employees sit in Asia. So we kind of watched it come at us, and we heard that news before it got to my backyard, at least. And when it got here, I already knew that the impressions that were given out, the social media, the news, it was all sensationalizing, rather than looking for solutions. It wasn't giving us calls to action. It was giving us calls to drama, calls to stress, to be high anxiety. And, you know, on top of that, our day-to-day routines were being completely changed, which means all of our social interactions were also changing. We're spending time with people we don't normally spend time with, and we're now responsible for things that we weren't responsible for. And everybody felt the same feeling of being overwhelmed by it. Always for different reasons when I talked to them, but everybody felt like it was too much, too fast, and they couldn't keep all the balls in the air. And I first thought, well, we just need to make that okay. We need to say, none of us have the balls in the air. Look at me. I'm not even out of my pajamas this morning. You know, it needed to start to be not funny because it's a really serious situation, but we needed to show our leadership, each and every one of us, because we had to lead for our spouses or lead for our significant others or for our pets or for our kids or for anybody else that came to the door who was walking by outside the house and they just want to talk because they don't have anybody living in their house. So we just decided as a team that we were going to do it in a positive way, and we were going to try to only contribute to positive messaging, whether that be with customers or vendors, our own households, or our peers. And we put a bunch of things in place in order to do that. And we just stuck through it. And today is our 31st day of positivity. And it's going pretty well. Other than I did post one thing about beer that really upset somebody today, which I didn't mean to. I was just trying to show that, you know, industry is continuing to move. And thank goodness it's the beer industry, because we all could drink a lot right now because we're stuck at home. And some people thought that would be as funny as I did.
I got to tell you, when I went to Walmart, maintained my 6 feet, you know, and I went to the alcohol area, grabbed my alcohol. And then I asked the lady, I said, "Hey, do you see any sort of trends happen in the alcohol purchase world?" And she said, "Yeah, it's increasing."
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what are you going to do?
We're stuck inside our houses. I mean, we really are. And even the social distancing that we're doing, like you'll have a neighbor 40 yards away and they'll sit in their front yard and you sit in yours and you toast to each other, right? High five and whatever. And I think that's important though, because we're social beings
and to
pretend like we're not is just, you know, it's in our nature to communicate with others, and every region does it differently, but we're all still trying to figure it out. Like the people in New York City, some of them are stuck in 300 and 400 square feet of space for their family, and they can't go outside. So you have to do stuff that makes you feel like you're interacting with others to make the space that we're constrained in feel like it can fit us again.
One of the conversations I had with somebody else, and this is where, from a leadership point of view, that you, Beverly, and others, I believe you're responsible to constantly interact with your team in some way, shape, or form, that it's easy to just forget to a certain extent. You got your own, you know, I'm at home, you go and life is happening. And we forget to reach out and say, hey, how are you doing, Schmo, whatever your name is? How are you doing? Are you hanging in there? Did you get that email? Let's talk a little bit about it. No, just that social element. And that's where the leadership happens. No, just do it and make them part.
Yeah.
Hey, we're getting together for a virtual, you know, drinking game. You want to join us? That type of thing. It's like, why not? It's true. And I just think it's really interesting that I'm not trying to be glib about the whole the situation. I do like to see some of the positive things that are taking place as a result of it. And to your point, I'm forced normally. Of course, I do a podcast, but after we do this podcast, I pretty much shut down. I don't want to talk to anybody. Now I have to talk to people, and now I have to help people, and now I have to sort of say, "Hey, it's going to be okay. Let me do whatever is necessary and give of yourself and think of others, and leave it at that." I kind of like it.
You know what? I like it too. I think that this has actually provided people time to think and to reposition their place in the world and inside their families. And I also know for me personally, I think it's easier, you know, it's hard to talk about others or things they've shared, but what I'll tell you personally is that I have traveled way too much the past few years, and being able to be home, right, has allowed me to see not just what I missed, but what I didn't learn about, what I didn't get to do, and what I took away from being and doing what I was doing. And so I took that as almost a challenge of how do I keep this new dynamic going even when the old ways start to trickle back in, right? That's the things that we're used to. And I challenged my team as well, like, how do you keep this going? How do you keep the positives that we're learning right now?
Yeah.
And then when all the bad is gone, the bad's forcing us into it, but I believe that there's a lot of lessons to be learned about ourselves and for our families and for our friendships and also our further out relationships. So we have this thing where every one of us on my team has to call somebody else on the team, and it can't be somebody you've talked to in the last 5 days. So every day you got to talk to somebody new until you make it through the whole list, and then you start over, so that there's different types of interaction and different types of conversations, you know. Some people want to talk about the scary stuff. Some people want to, like I said, talk about toilet paper or beer. Some people want to talk about this new idea that they had. And we decided to do it internally, but we're also doing it with our families, and we're also doing it with our prospects and our customers. And what we're doing is a little bit different than I've ever had the opportunity to do, because right now we don't think we should be selling stuff, right? And every company has a product or a service or a solution. And we actually think we should be helping. And that should be a free of charge event, because we have a lot of really smart people who can help. So we have reached out to people that we've never talked to before just to say, hey, look, we were brainstorming. We had a brainstorming session. We came up with this idea for your business. We don't know what you're doing about this, but if you're falling under any of these categories, here's an idea that we had that might help you. And it's no strings attached. It's because we're trying to bring everybody together instead of pushing everybody apart. And we view that as part of our current mission.
See, what's interesting about that approach, I think that it, one, is the right thing to do. Absolutely spot on. Kudos to Hitachi and everybody else within that organization. Like it. But two, just by virtue of being there and being a resource and providing solutions and proactively, not just sitting back and, you know, waiting for something to happen, but proactively saying, hey, I know you're possibly in pain. Here is a here, take it. Good luck. You know, we're here to help you. We're a resource, whatever. You just call. Here's my number. And I think that that's a beautiful message. And what I also believe in this time is that you realize you've wasted a lot of time. Yeah. You're doing things that you're sort of, upon reflection, you're saying, did I really need to travel there? I don't know. I mean, you realize what is important and what's not important from a business perspective. And it's like, I didn't have to do that, but I did it anyway. And my priorities were a little, you know, upside down. Is that, that's an interesting observation that I've realized too. It's like, okay, yeah, I got it.
There's something else that's happened that's been very interesting because it is a very global position that I hold with a lot of global people. But the people that I have that are sitting in EMEA are feeling very EMEA-centric right now. And the people that I have in Asia, they actually are feeling globally. And in the Americas, all of a sudden I'm getting this like Olympic feel where we chant USA and we're the people that do that in the stands. And I just have that feeling like we all believe and we all know we can work together and we know we can be good together. Yeah. And it reminds me of the housing crisis. It reminds me of 9/11. It reminds me of the oil embargoes when I sat on the hood of the car and everybody was bringing us snacks all day, the little kids. So I feel like there's a coming together in a way that everybody wants to be part of the solution, or most people, I should say. Nothing's ever everybody.
But you know what's interesting? As a result, you're absolutely right. By the way, you dropped the oil embargo. I remember being odd and even on my license plate, and I couldn't get gas when I was even or whatever it was. Yeah, I remember the oil embargo. Wonderful time. Anyway, what is interesting about what you just said, it's sort of, I think people are coming to terms with the fact that, okay, that my business stopped like a switch. Clink. Yesterday was good. Today, wow, bad. And then I'm grieving here. I'm whatever those steps are. I'm grieving. And now all of a sudden, now I'm coming out on the other side and I realize, well, I might as well just help. I might as well just go coil up that cable or dig that ditch and help a company at least, you know, not hurt as much. And I think that's the message. And I think it's come with time. And do you think, we're looking at the end of April, May, whatever the timeline is.
Right.
I think people are starting to embrace the fact that, okay, this is sort of a norm that we're going to have to deal with. If we're going to survive, we're going to have to figure it out. And then be very other focused, providing solutions. And then through that interaction, that social interaction, we're going to be okay. We will. Might be.
Yeah. I'm not buying into the new normal. And I know why we need to say that. And I know why we need to do it. For my personal belief in it, I think it's a temporary normal because we don't know what the new normal looks like yet, because we don't know what this really is. I think that we're 60 days from even being able to determine what the future holds. We have a lot of finance information to be released to see how it truly is going to impact the economy. I think that we're seeing the first layoffs, not the last layoffs. So because there's those other factors coming, I don't want to call this the normal if the normal actually goes a little bit further than where we're at. I really want to say we're on this transition. We don't know what it looks like. We know that we're going to need to change so that if it ever happens again, we're ready for it next time and we're not behind.
The your business continuity plan didn't have pandemic in it. I guarantee you.
Did not. No.
And to your point, you're right. Do you think businesses today, with the information they have today, and recognize that you know, in a month and a half, it might be completely different. And like you said, financial information, layouts, all of that stuff. Do you think that people have to really challenge their business model? Now, Hitachi's, sure. I mean, Hitachi's Hitachi, right? But other businesses, they might have to re-look at their business model, try to determine how do I improve resiliency within the fact that a pandemic is really set me for a loop, and then really challenges the business processes and solutions that I do provide to my customers for resiliency. Do you think we have to start looking into that?
I do. I think that every different business has a different set of problems, every sub vertical within it. So if you're just looking, say, at manufacturing, which is one that I know you and I like to talk about, inside of manufacturing, there's process manufacturing that actually is needed every single minute. And their problem isn't getting it out the door. It's missing the deadlines of businesses that aren't considered critical infrastructure. So the parts that they need to create their whole, even though they are allowed to continue operating, aren't available to them. So how do they own their own value chain, right? That's looking at it end to end now, where before they felt they could do just in time. For regular heavy industrial or parts manufacturers, you know, that's all done just in time in order to have increased profitability. But if you don't have a warehouse of parts and they all get sold, you got nothing to build with. Right. And if one country goes down that has 95% of your parts being produced, you're pretty much out of business until everybody restarts and it makes it all the way through that chain. So I think that we're going to see a lot more localization. We're going to see a lot more going back to the way it used to be, where people actually keep things on hand and everything isn't customizable and just in time. And I think we're going to also look at more diversified, not just vendor sets and geographically vendor sets, but also in how we look at our customer base. You know, it could be great to be in fintech until fintech drops out. It's great to be in communications until the whole communications industry can't take the supply and demand. It really is about every single one and making sure you have the right distribution so that it doesn't matter what's up. When something's up, you have something that mirrors it on the other side, up and down. And I don't think most companies look at their customer base or their vendor base that way today.
They don't. I guarantee you they don't. I agree with you 100% on that. I know that we don't have a crystal ball to see what's going to happen, but you know, you brought up that whole supply chain, and of course I think about that, and I know how difficult it could be if for, you know, your parts are getting sourced from some other country and that country shut down. You just, what do I do? I think it's also brought up an interesting reality that before this situation has occurred, and if you're saying, hey, we need to do more manufacturing within the boundaries of our country and identify that and what that looks like, I don't think people had the ear to really hear you and say, yeah, that's what we should do. I think today, that conversation is more relevant in saying, yeah, I think we need to really look at our, and I'll just use supply chain, our supply chain, and do we do more manufacturing within the United States? Do you find that conversation happening? I mean, there's that globalization,
Yeah, so I'm finding that it was talked about before, but in a very political way, of which I'm not. Today, it's not being talked about from a political way. It's being talked about business continuity. Yeah. And that while you need to go where you can get things at a low price for a low labor rate, you also have to balance that with, you know, in times of crisis, where are the parts or where are these different pieces coming from? So what's the correct balance? And is there, I've been asked probably 30 times in the past 2 weeks, is there an algorithm for that? Has somebody built one yet? And I'm like, no, but I'm sure that smarter thinking about it and I will ask around. But I really think it's about balance. And we, especially in America, tend to swing very far one way and then the other. And in business, we do this as well. We find something that works and we go after it. But that's without considering all the different conditions. And then something like this happens to us and we're going to swing the other way because that's just what we do. I don't think that that's bad because I think it'll create different thought processes, different patterns, and different ways of being able to do the same business. And that'll allow some companies will you know, keep both, and they can afford to do that. Some will swing one way or the other, but it'll give you at least somebody that's able to meet the need in these types of times, because we all shouldn't look alike. We should all shouldn't be doing it exactly the same way. It kind of reminds me of like when the car manufacturers all went to lean technology, like everybody was like lean was the thing and that's what they were going to do and everybody was going to do it. And then they realized, well, maybe for our type, that doesn't work. Maybe we want to put the wrenches to the metal and do the, you know, screwing on the bolts and stuff in a different way, because we want our perception of us to be different, or to be higher end, or to be more hands-on. And I think that all of the different types of businesses are going to look at that. The other interesting thing for me about this is that this particular thing has really brought consumer goods, medical supplies, those types of things into question. But have we really looked at every type of disaster that can happen? And have we looked at what you really need for these different types of epidemics, natural disasters, acts of God, as they call them? I don't think we have. And so this is going to open up a whole different world of looking at how do we react and who has powers to do what, and what are we going to, what preconceived ideas are we going to give to product manufacturers or consumer good companies in these times of trouble so that we have enough for our people?
It's going to be interesting. From my perspective, it's going to be an interesting conversation, because I know that is, it's like, you know, as well as I do, you're in the boardroom, you're having these conversations, and there's a cadence to these board members. And you're talking about, okay, now all of a sudden you throw this in there, and then it's a different conversation of do we, you know, what about this? What about this? What about this? Because we've just been through this. What about this? And so it's really, and once again, I don't take it as a negative. I take it as a positive, because I think that conversation has to happen. And I think it's a healthy conversation to have. And I think, although the pain and agony and frustration and all of the emotions that are taking place now, I believe we're going to be better at the other end of this, whatever that is. And therefore, more resilient,
I think that as well.
Yeah, and more other focus. It's like, instead of what's in it for me, I'm not going to have this, and I've had that conversation, what's in it for me, to, hey, let's have a mutual sort of benefit here, and if it benefits you, that's great. If it benefits me, that's great. But we just want everybody to succeed in some way, shape, or form. We're here to help. And I like that message.
I don't know if you've seen this, but I see a lot of strange bedfellows right now. Like, people are working together that you wouldn't expect to work together. And it's probably because they live in the same city and they can actually scream across the driveway to each other. But companies that you would just not see working together, people who, you know, in real life don't really like each other, but you're seeing them working together as this coming together in America is happening. And that, to me, is one of the more interesting things that's happening, is people are having more space for other people.
Now, the real question is this a positive, sustainable direction, or are we going to, you know, go back to our old ways, or some group like, yeah, you're different. Okay. You're a leader. You got that whole Hawaii thing behind you. That's all good. If you're looking out on the video, she's in Hawaii. No, she's not. That's
special bag. I wish I was, though.
Anyway,
no, so we should talk about that, because that's something that this has done. So who knew that nobody who works for me has a computer that lets you put a background on? You are required to have a green screen to work with our computers. But because we travel so much, none of us knew that until we got into this situation. So I had to buy out the green screens and send them to everybody so that they could actually put a background that said Hitachi on it when they're on conference calls. A whole new market we didn't even know existed. Yeah, I know.
That is so funny. That is so funny. Now, are they portable green screen, so when you start traveling, they are. Yeah. So you gotta take that with you.
I got a collapsible portable green screen.
Now, when you do video conferencing, do you do Zoom or all platforms? Probably.
I have all platforms, but Zoom has really been phenomenal for this. I had a call earlier today with like 75 people on it, and I could see everybody. That was amazing.
It's a pretty powerful platform. Now, you know, you can put in a background automatically.
So this is on the Zoom, and it's a custom background. So we got the picture that we wanted. We added all the Hitachi emblems We have 35 to get me through the 35 next days. Different one every day.
See, that was a result of, you know, okay, all, now we're all at home, but we got to have the green screen. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Okay, let's order. Yeah, that was the immediate thing for Hitachi.
No, we did a lot of other things. It was just that we wanted to be more professional. You should see all the things people have on their walls. Who knew?
Oh, I understand. That's why this is the backdrop that I have right now, because you don't want to see right. The stuff that I have on the walls. You know, you're always just sort of trying to finagle the backdrop. Is that a good one? Does that make sense? You know,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Well, this has been an absolutely wonderful conversation.
Oh, I enjoyed it as well. I love talking to you.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You're a spark plug, a positive spark plug. I like that. Would you be willing to get on again? And I'm going to put you in on the spot. I like it. I like it a lot, because there's a lot that's happening, and this would be a great conversation to have, just saying, hey, so we had this conversation and we were thinking about this. What about this one? And I would like, because it's going to change. What we think about today is it's going to be different. Tomorrow, I guarantee it, tomorrow is going to be different.
Really, it changes every day right now.
It does. And if you're not flexible, and this must be tough when you're not flexible.
I can't imagine. The people that can't handle change are not doing well right now.
It's not comfortable at all.
Yeah.
And fortunately for me, I deal with a lot of engineers.
There you go.
this is uncertain for them too.
Yes.
But yeah, it is I guess for me personally, I'm sort of somewhat bullish, because you can be whining and complaining about the situation, which we can all be feeling that way. You can sit on the sideline, or you can just force yourself to look at the positive and optimistic potential that exists here, and be a resource and help people any way, shape, or form. I mean, that's what it's about.
Well, I'll tell you, Scott, that in the last week, I've got to do a book club with Simon Sinek. Whoever thought I'd get to do that?
Did you really?
A cooking show. Yeah, we did a cooking show. We did a virtual concert with Elton John. I mean, it seems to me that almost everything that we used to go do in person, we're now doing over the internet. And as long as our internet stays up, we're going to be okay.
Hear that, internet providers.
Exactly.
Can you imagine if that happened? And now we have no internet. Oh, that's it, man. That's it. You know, zombies will be ruling this world. Because
exactly.
I'll wander around. Well, Beverly, always an absolute joy. You're just like I said, man, you're fantastic. Stay safe. We will continue this conversation most definitely at a later date. You listeners at industrialtalk.com, what we're going to do is we're going to sort of wrap it up on the other side, and I think you need to reach out to Beverly, because she's a rock star. So stay tuned, you listeners. And thank you, Beverly, for being on the Industrial Talk podcast.
You're welcome, and tell your lovely wife I said hello.
Hey, she was behind me when you started up. She's running off. I don't know where she is.
Well, I'm waving at her now. Bye, everybody. Yeah.
But here's the funny thing. I've been having these conversations. This is an addition too, so we have not stopped the podcast. I'm having these conversations with another gentleman. He's with an engineering firm, and I said, I know you're at home. You can't ghost me. I know you're doing nothing, and you're not traveling. How come you're ignoring me? And we get along real well, and it's like, yeah, there's no reason. You can get on the podcast. So anyway, that's because I know where you're at. All right. Thank you very much, Beverly. And you listeners, stay tuned. We're going to wrap it up on the other side.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Yep. Two words, Beverly Ryder. She is a leader. She is an innovator. She truly understands what is needed. She is bold. She is brave. She dares greatly. She embodies the principles of just industry and leadership. What an absolute honor for her to be on the Industrial Talk podcast. Reach out. I mean, you could go to her stat card, Beverly Ryder, and you're going to have to probably end up putting in Hitachi, and find her, reach out, She's out there and she's engaged, man. She's absolutely amazing. All right. You need to follow hashtag, once again, hashtag Operation Phoenix with people like Beverly and others. We're going to be just highlighting hopeful, optimistic messages in a very challenging time. We're focusing on action. We're focusing on strategies to get your business back up and running. And we're going to leverage as much as we possibly can, because once again, it's about collaboration. It is about, you can't do this on your own. You need help from other people, and people like Beverly and others, open book, man. So aren't we just very fortunate to be able to be a part of a growing community, Operation Phoenix? We're here to help. Thank you very much. Once again, be bold, be brave, dare greatly. I'm going to slap in innovate, because you're going to have to innovate. Thank you very much. Be safe. Stay away from that nasty virus. Talk to you soon.